Yes, welcome back to the Bus Bot Scottish Football Podcast with me, Hamish Carton. It's weekend preview time, lots and lots to discuss. We're going to look back at the game that has just finished, if we have to. It was St Johnstone against Aberdeen. Before that, we've got Callum Scott here. Killy Cal, how are you?
Delighted to be back, Hamish, after a couple of weeks off.
You cooled down yet after the weekend?
Aye, well, we were just talking about that before we came on air, so I was a wee bit reactionary, but no, I've calmed down a wee bit.
Glad to hear it. We've also got fresh back from his holly bags, Craig Gamble.
Yep, good to be back, refreshed after a couple of weeks in Greece, Hamish, so good to get back to the stuff that really matters.
Yeah, exactly. Good to have you back. Right, guys, we'll get into the game that's just finished in a wee minute. First of all, I want to get your thoughts on the news today. I'm assuming you've seen it. Nicola Sturgeon effectively confirming that the date, September the 14th, we could start to get a limited number of fans back into games. Positive news, Casey?
Absolutely. I mean, I hate to say it, but today I kind of feared the worst for the First Minister's announcement. I had a feeling that things, if anything, would be put back quite significantly. Just kind of talking to people in the hospitality industry and stuff.
Because of the Aberdeen 8 and Ballingolie?
Well, obviously, in general as well, opposed to actually primarily football, but I know it's a football podcast, so I'll come on to that. So I actually thought, I was fearing the worst, so I didn't think gyms would open. And gyms are opening a couple of weeks earlier now than they initially were. And the fact that the football's set to kind of come back, well, obviously a kind of phased return, obviously socially distanced crowds with everything in place as of the 14th of September is absolutely brilliant, to be honest. I mean, you know, we're sitting here and you never know what can happen in the next couple of weeks, but I mean, to think that we'll be back at the football potentially this year, well, certainly as a Kilmarnock supporter, I don't think there'll be any issues with us trying to get socially distanced crowds. I'm not meaning that with a horrible patter either, but just genuinely, like, I think that most kind of provincial clubs should be fine. We don't sell out on grounds week in, week out. So, no, I'm delighted with that. But if I'm ever going to put a wee bit of a dampener on it, here I am, because you can't me, I'm always Mr. Negative. The only thing I'll say, obviously, I would have it, obviously delighted to have it back, but I was always wanting at the time when there was this kind of, when the football got cancelled, that if hopefully a vaccine was to come back and we could just go back business as usual, because I think that there would be like record crowds in Scotland, whereas obviously I can't really see that happening now with the phased return. But don't get me wrong, I mean, it's been far too long and I'm absolutely delighted for it.
Definitely, you maybe get 120,000 at Murrayfield for a game at some stage, but
113,000, I think. That
oh, was. sorry, I got that one wrong. Bit of an in joke there. I'm sure anyone who listened to Rock Sport back in the day will know what we're talking about. Good news. Obviously, being serious about it, Gamble, we don't know. They've used this phrase. The First Minister said limited numbers, so we don't know the exact what that could mean for teams like Celtic and Rangers. Limited numbers could mean anything from 500 to 15,000, 20,000 maybe. The one kind of indicator we do have, I saw the BBC reporting earlier saying that a rugby match between, I think it's Glasgow and Edinburgh next Friday at Murrayfield, the chat is that they're going to have 700 spectators. I wouldn't even call them fans at rugby, to be honest, but spectators at that, wiring into that. So that gives like an indication of the numbers we're talking. And in a 67,000 stadium, if you're getting 700 people in for a test, that kind of dampens the mood a little bit, doesn't it?
It does a wee bit. Just like in terms of the news, first of all, I think pretty much carrying on from what Casey said, maybe it comes a wee bit earlier than we expected, especially with some of the antics of certain folk within Scottish football as well. We didn't expect good news like that as soon as it's came today. I was going to say what Casey said, it's maybe better news for some of the smaller clubs. Absolutely no disrespect meant by that, but how do you, as a club for Celtic and Rangers fans, even Hibs as well, like you classing that, how do you kind of decide? And you say as well, we don't know exactly what kind of numbers we're going to be allowed. The indication from that test event is obviously it's not going to be huge. But yeah, how do you kind of start trying to decide who's allowed in? But in the main, it's obviously good news and it shows that we're kind of moving back towards some sort of normality. So, hopefully all goes well and we can get back to full capacity as quickly as we can.
Yeah, I think it's a good point you raise about how do they decide what fans get to what games. I was looking at Celtic's first...
Jails points for us, so Rangers Twitter is hostile enough at the minute without that getting flung into the cauldron, so
I think that on regards to obviously the figures floating about now, the kind of 700, I genuinely do think that is only for the literally like the first for that. Or if you're lucky, a week, like just to see what that's like, and then I think we will be talking, certainly provincial clubs. I think you'd be talking, I don't know, what like 30 stadium capacity or something, which again is pretty realistic, particularly for like the likes of Kilmarnock and stuff, without a doubt, maybe a quarter, I don't know, but I don't think that it will be 700 for any kind of prolonged period of time. I think that is literally a test for this. This rugby, then that'll be the last of us mentioning rugby.
That's just the amount of folk that actually wanted to go and watch the rugby match.
That as well. So, no, I genuinely do think that's just that to attest to see how it actually works here, because obviously it's a Murrayfield, but you've got obviously 700 and a 68,000. I mean, it's bizarre. You're as well with nobody there anyway. But so, I genuinely do think that it'll be fit. It's just my guess. I don't know. I've no inside knowledge or anything, obviously, but I would say that you're talking, well, I'd hope about a third kind of capacity. I think that's the way forward, because I think that's realistic and feasible to socially distance and to get exits right and all the rest of it. So I would just say that. So I'm hoping that there's not got to be like 700 people at Firth Park, Rugby Park, all the rest of it.
I think that's an important thing to consider, that every stadium in Scotland's different. I was listening to, I've now forgotten his name, Daryl Broadfoot on Sports Sound, and he's usually quite in touch with these kind of things, and he was saying you need to get out of the viewpoint of the percentage in your head. Like, everyone's got this 25% capacity, so that's what, 15 at Parkhead, 12 at Ibrox, 5 at Rugby Park or whatever. You've got to get out of that mindset, because every stadium's different. Every stadium's got different exits, entrances. For example, stadia like Hampden will be much more able to get 10% in than, for example, maybe an older stadium like, Hamilton or something like that, just because there's more exits and that kind of thing. Because I think exits are the big issue. The other big issue is the travelling to and from games. So I've heard rumours that it could be a certain postcodes allowed into the Celtic and Rangers games, because obviously they're going to be the big issues. So again, I mean, we've had enough with the government deciding exam grades on postcodes. So, I mean, doing football matches as well won't go down too well with some people. So, a lot to be decided. But I think the main thing we'd all agree on is that it's positive. It's better. It's a better problem to have deciding who goes to the game than having no one going to games at all. Because as much as the Champions League's been good over the last wee period and Scottish football, we're all enjoying it being back, I'm a bit kind of sick, fed up of closed door games. I just want fans back now, because they're the life and blood of the game. I think we've found that over the last wee while. Right, we'll move on that topic to another game on Sky Sports. I don't probably need to tell you how it went, because it was live in Sky Sports, so it was automatically a pretty poor game. It finished St Johnson 0, Aberdeen 1. I was half watching this. I think you two as well were kind of half watching it. That said probably more about the quality of the game than anything else, but I believe that it was Ryan Hedges that scored the late winner for Aberdeen. It was a kind of deflected, horrible goal to win a pretty horrible game at McDermott Park, but I suppose the main thing, Casey, is that it was a win for Aberdeen, and with what they've had to deal with over the last 3 weeks or so, that's pretty impressive.
Nah, but without a doubt, Hamish, as I said, it was not a great game for what I caught of it, but at the end of the day, it's the result that matters, as they say, and it's preferable. Tough place to go and all that going there. So, for them to go there and after everything that's happened in the last couple of weeks, it's an absolute massive result for Derek McInnes and Aberdeen. I think the obviously his record against St Johnstone's is pretty decent. And as I said, to go there and win, but there wasn't much in the game, as I said, for what I caught, deflected goal. But as I said, it's the result that matters. And Aberdeen have been able to do that and bounce back for an extremely difficult couple of weeks, and obviously they've been in the headlines for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, another poor game on Sky Sports, as I say, Gamble. If you look at the games they've actually televised this season, Aberdeen Rangers opening weekend was pretty horrific. Fair enough, they got a few goals at Parkhead the following day. Ross County Motherwell was an alright game, but only the one goal. Killie Celtic was a pretty rotten game, I thought. Livingston Rangers was pretty rotten. Hibs Motherwell was awful. I think there's another one I'm forgetting as well, obviously, tonight as well. So Dundee United Hibs
as well, wasn't it?
Dundee United Hibs, yeah. That was a really poor game as well.
Was it a 2-2 game on the telly? I don't know where I'm... Have we had any game that's had, apart from obviously, I know, the Celtic Hamilton?
Not that I can remember. I think the only game that's had any sort of goal action was Celtic Hamilton.
Yeah. Aye. It's not a great start to the televised fixtures, is it? But aye, especially the last three that obviously I watched a bit of the second half tonight, didn't catch the first half. Wasted 90 minutes of my life last Sunday watching the Livingston Rangers game and then the Hibs Motherwell on Saturday, wasn't it? Those last three games especially. In terms of even, obviously, the games, the score lines have been low, but see even, like, can I go, like, action in front of a goal or, like, chances or anything, there's not been much, but, aye, not the best start, but, aye, I'm sure there'll be better games to come, hopefully. Surely.
Yeah. Well, Dundee United Celtic's on telly this weekend, and so is, I think it's St Johnstone Hibs, the game on Sunday. So we'll come on to those games in a minute. Starting just looking ahead to the weekend, by the way, it's just going to be a brief-ish podcast because we're touching 10 o'clock. We've obviously recorded this after the Aberdeen game, so hope the listeners don't mind too much. We've got Lanarkshire Derby on Saturday, guys. It's Motherwell versus Hamilton. Neither side has won yet this season, although Hamilton did win in their last visit to Firth Park. I didn't see Motherwell against Hibs on Saturday. As we say, I heard that was pretty dreadful. But was there, you know, better signs for Motherwell there at all, guys?
Yeah, I would say so. Definitely. I think they were well worthy of their point against Hibs, and I don't think anyone could grudge them taking all 3 points if they managed to get a goal in that game. But as you say, poor starts to the season for both of them. Motherwell, obviously, as we say, last week, a lot better result, maybe a kind of platform for them to build on. But it's a weird game to call. I always find this one, you always expect Motherwell to be the favourites going into it. Most teams in the league, you'd probably say, going into playing against Hamilton are favourites, but it never, well, a lot of the time doesn't work out like that. But and that's what I was going to say, in this game especially, it's a pretty unpredictable derby to call. I think Hamilton have had a bit of joy, especially at Firth Park, over the last couple of seasons as well. So you never know how it's going to go. I know it's the old derby cliche as well, but the form goes out the window and all that. But both of their forms rank. So I think Motherwell will win it. To be fair, I think as I say, watching them last week, Turnbull played well. I think they started. I think the first couple of games they just. They look really poor, but last week definitely better signs. So I think they'll, as I say, go on and kind of build on that good result last week and get their first win on the board.
After Aberdeen's win against St Johnstone, Hamilton now the only team yet to register a point this season, KC. I mean, I know they've only played three games in comparison to some of the other teams around them, but when you look at the teams around them, obviously Motherwell, who they play on Saturday, have got 2 points, but we're not saying that Motherwell are going to be relegated. I don't think anyone's seriously suggesting that, although I don't know. Livingston, I would probably agree, just based on the last couple of performances, that they've got enough about them, especially defensively, the way they defended against Rangers to get out of that, although I admit that maybe scoring some goals is a worry. Aberdeen are in there as well. Obviously, they've only played two games, but nobody's thinking they'll get relegated. St Johnstone have got 4 points, maybe they could be drawn in, but the only other team I've not mentioned is your own team. So, not to make it about Killie, because we're obviously chatting about Hamilton here, but if you're an Accies fan, you'd be a little bit worried about the fact that St Mirren and Ross County, probably the two teams you would have said at the start of the season, are sitting in fifth and third.
Absolutely. Again, from my point of view, that was down to my kind of reactionary comments and in Sunday after our defeat to St Johnstone, because I know it's only a couple of games into a season, man, but you're like, as you said, there are two teams that I would expect to at least finish below us, and who Aki's would be hoping to be there or thereabouts, and so they've already registered a couple of wins each now, which is massive at this stage of the season. I mean, it's obviously a long, long season, but to go off to a flyer like that, and the last thing you're doing is now want to chase a win. But when you think that 3-4 games into a season, you're thinking so much win games. Like,
it's early in the season, isn't it? But 3 or 4 games slowly, or quickly becomes 8 or 9, and you're halfway into the season, and you're still languishing 11th or 12th.
No, 100%, and psychologically, I could only imagine. Obviously, I've not been in that position myself as a player or a manager, but it can never be good playing catch up with teams that you should be there or thereabouts, or so you'd hope to be there or thereabouts with, such early on the season. And I think that the one thing that goes for them, like, unless it was obviously against those particular clubs where they could try and make up ground on them, but we've been a derby and the record against Motherwell was actually kind of fairly decent, as Gamble's touched up on. I mean, it always looks kind of straightforward that Motherwell should win these games, but they don't. Right. And it's particularly Fir Park over the last couple of years. I think that it will be a tough game. But I've got a feeling that the Aki's will maybe get a point out of it. Honestly, do.
It'd be typical, wouldn't it?
Aye, 100%. They'll go and get that point, and then we'll get absolutely battered by Rangers on Saturday as well. So, but again, it could go anywhere, because Motherwell, obviously their performance last Saturday, much improved to where they've been. A lot of people obviously tapped him to have a very, very good season again. Their recruitment appears to have been good. And then they've not really been at it, but a good performance against Hibs, and they got a draw and they're unlucky enough to win it. So they'll obviously begin into that game. Aki's are maybe a bit of a wounded animal, I don't know. But it's a long season, but as I've said, at this stage in the season, you don't want to be playing catch-up.
Definitely. I meant to say to you guys, I'm going to a game this weekend. How amazing is that?
How did you wrangle that?
I'm doing press apparently at St Mirren versus Ross County. I mean, it's not the most glamorous of games, but we'll take it. It's a chance to see a bit of football. I think it's months and months. I'll let you know how it goes, guys, because it'll be interesting. It's been months since I've actually seen football. I forget what it's like. But as we say, that's a game we're going to move on to now. St Mirren, Ross County, 5th against 3rd, which is pretty mad thinking about it. As I said, two teams who you would think would be at the bottom of the table. I was reading about St Mirren, I've signed a striker, Christian Dennis his name is, he's 30 years old, last playing for Notts County, scored 13 goals in 32 games for them last season, which is National League's their level, so not an amazing record, but clearly has some goals about him. Not sure if he'll make his debut on Saturday, but an interesting game for teams at the bottom who are wanting to avoid relegation, Casey, but it's 5th against 3rd.
Absolutely, but again, I'm not going to get carried away either. I mean, we all talk about, we're a couple of games into a season, man. Two wins will get you there. But credit to them, they've both had very, very strong starts to the season. Obviously, I can only go in highlights, but I've seen obviously the full 90 minutes with ourselves versus Ross County. Thought first half against us were the better team, but I thought second half that, again, it was a game that we should have won. I thought we were the better team. And we were unlucky with penalty decisions that went against us, and County were able to get a penalty, but it was one that, we had a similar shout and didn't get it. So, obviously, a wee bit lucky there from them, but, at the end of the day, again, a strong start to the season. They're disappointed to be beaten by Dundee United on Saturday as well. So, who, again, are another team that have maybe been a wee bit surprising under Mickey Mellon, that's done well there thus far, but again, it's only early days. So I think that the Ross County St Mirren's arguably the game of the weekend, to be fair, which is something that you wouldn't have said at the beginning of the season.
Lucky me, eh? Getting to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. But,
jealous.
Exactly. So in terms of, I was reading Ross County, the penalty decision against Dundee United, I think it was Harry Payton, the young guy who was booked for diving, probably should have got a penalty in that game in the first half. So they were hard done by there. But two teams who have defended quite well, St Mirren have only conceded 3 goals in their 3 matches, and they were all at Ibrox. And Ross County they've conceded 4 now, but they all came in the last 2 matches. They kept clean sheets against both the Lanarkshire teams in their first 2 games. What have you made of both sides, Craig?
Been really impressive. I think, well, for Ross County especially, last season the major problem for them was the amount of goals they were conceding. Obviously, St Mirren not so much, and I know we spoke about the St Mirren's recruitment in the kind of pre-season stuff that we've done and impressed with it, and it's obviously it's paying off so far. I think both these teams, like, obviously they've got off to great starts in terms of their ambitions for the season. Is no disrespect, obviously, to stay in the league. And I think this game in particular, if you're a St Mirren fan, it's, as you say, they've only lost the 3 goals to Rangers this season. That's not the kind of games, I know it's a kind of another cliche I'm rolling out here, but that's not the games that's going to define St Mirren's season, is it? These will be the ones that they'll mark. St Mirren fans, Jim Goodwin will mark on the fixture list as the ones that you want to win. And the same for Ross County as well, in terms of getting an away win on the board. That would be one that they'd be hoping to get at least a point from, hopefully three. So makes for a good game. Both teams obviously get into it in a bit of confidence under their belt as well. So I'm jealous of you getting to go to that one, I've got to say.
I'll take loads of photos, I promise. Does anyone, it's late at night, we're recording this, does anyone maybe feeling a bit adventurous and want to make a mad prediction about either County or St Mirren finishing the top six?
For myself, obviously I tipped Ross County to finish bottom, but that was just the way I was trying to look at it. It was more, we never ever want to relegate Accies because we do it every season, so I was like, nah. And then it was actually nothing against them, it was just down to process of elimination, needless to say. But I don't know whether I'm just been bitter or biased here or whatever, but I still just, what stands out for me, I know Craig said that obviously our season only defined against games against Rangers or Celtic, but I thought if anything that was a bit of a concern. Again, I can only go in the highlights, but when Rangers played them the other week, man, Rangers absolutely battered them. Like, their keeper made countless saves, which is surprising considering how defensively structured they are and how well organised they are. But Ibrox, it just seemed to go out the window, and that's Ibrox and Parkhead are the two places you need to go and close down space or park it across 18-yard box and not let any shots come in. And they get absolutely battered by Rangers. And I genuinely think that Rangers could have been up like 4 or 5 in the first half. So it'll be interesting to see when they come against bigger and better teams, how they got on. But then again, as I said, obviously, good result against Motherwell at the beginning of the season. So go that. Recruitment's been decent for St Mirren. Ross County, I don't know yet. It's far too early to call anything.
Yeah, maybe I'm being harsh in saying they've had a favourable-ish run so far. I don't know, maybe that's slightly harsh.
But I'm not even what to say that either, because, I mean, it's everybody's as good as each other in the league when you take away the top two, you know what I mean? Every point's up for grabs, and they've done well to put that together. And obviously, some have already been to Ibrox, home to Motherwell, so I'm just saying it's early days in the season. I mean, after the first round of fixtures, then you can get a good idea, an indication of where the table will be sitting.
Right, you were mentioning Rangers a minute ago there. Rangers versus Kilmarnock on Saturday. The real reason we've got you two guys in the podcast. Yes. So I will just go quiet for the next few minutes and I'll let you two just tackle the game and work out how it's going to go.
Well, I take the floor, Casey.
Aye, on you go, Craig.
So it's an interesting one, to be honest, in terms of a Rangers fans' point of view, obviously coming, and I know we were speaking about this a wee bit before we started, like, after last Sunday, a few people saying the reaction to it, maybe a wee bit over the top. I know Fisher, I listened to the pod we done after the weekend's fixtures last week. It's more the fact that we've probably seen maybe 9 or 10 of those exact games. I know it's, 4 games into a season. Exactly as I said there, when you've seen the pattern of that game play out so many times, then it becomes concerning and it's happening again this early into a season. So in terms of games coming up after that, in the last couple of seasons especially, we've struggled particularly against Killy for tactics such as those. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how we go about it, if we'll be able to break it down. I know we were saying, Casey, as well, Killy watching that game last Sunday, and they would have been setting up, I'd imagine, similarly anyway, but it looks quite easy to frustrate us at the minute. I'd be interested to see if Hadji keeps his place as well. I think he's not really kicked his arse at all yet this season. I think he's just maybe over trying it sometimes, but how long do you just keep putting him in the starting 11, I think, is what I'd say there. So it'll be interesting to see how we line up. To be honest, I think it will still be the same system. I don't know if it'll be a little change up in personnel. Hopefully Aribo will be back in and he'll have the kind of the cutting edge that we lacked last Sunday. So, I mean, I still fancy us to win, but I think maybe the fact that there's not going to be any fans there will maybe help our players a wee bit more, because I think if it gets to, say, 25, 30 minutes into the game on Saturday, if it's still 0-0, if Kelly are frustrating us the way we know that they can, then it would, the crowd at Ibrox can get a wee bit restless, to say the least. So maybe that will play into our favour a wee bit, and the players can relax a bit more and eventually find a breakthrough. But then again, on the other hand, Kelly have been unlucky, to say the least, so far this season. I know you make your own luck at times, but I'm sure, and I was saying it to UKC before as well, I think the luck will turn for Kelly, but from my point of view, I just hope it's not on Saturday.
No, that's absolutely fair. It's one of those, and obviously Gamble makes a very good point about the crowd, which is interesting to see how we'll set up, because we've obviously debated how big an impact the crowd has. Well, obviously it has a massive impact, but who actually benefits, the big teams or the wee teams here?
Yeah.
And it just depends what kind of game it is. For Ibrox, the way that we would traditionally set up, we actually need the Rangers crowd there, because that's it. It's a bit frustrating, and then that comes for the stands as well. So if we're planning to sit and park bodies across the bus, bodies across the 18-yard box for the entire game, then I fear that it's just got to be a case of how long before Rangers score, particularly Ibrox. If it was a rugby park, it could be a different kettle of fish, as we've seen against Celtic. But Ibrox is a bigger patch. It's harder to restrict and close down the space that guys Kent, Aribo, Hadji are all capable of exploiting. But if we were to go, and I don't think we will have a go, but it would be, it'd be a great, see like a Kenny Shields team, for example, Kenny Shields team under Commander years ago, they would have thrived in this environment, because they'd be going to Ibrox without Rangers or Celtic fans there, and they've just got a free hit to go and do what they want. We want it to play, and there's no that pressure there, there's no the fear of making mistakes, and I know it works both ways, but I think the way our game plans usually are to frustrate, that comes for the stands. So I'm hoping that, because as I'm saying, I know we did the exact same thing against Celtic, but that was at Rugby Park, where we could make, the pitch is tight anyway, you know what I mean, whereas at Ibrox, it's only got to be a matter of time, I feel, if we try to approach it like that way, the Rangers, we've obviously got to be conservative and defensively sound, but I think if we were to get anything positive out of the game, we've got to have something in the counter, and I fear the worst, because I don't think we do, because I think our team's far too slow. That's a major issue. See, a couple of seasons ago, Jordan Jones in a game like us would be vital to get you out of the pitch. I don't think we've got that, so I don't know. I don't want to say I feel the worst for Saturday. I wait to see the starting 11, but I honestly can't see a positive result, whereas usually I would be quite optimistic.
Yeah, I think it's a great point you both make, and one I hadn't actually considered, the fact that no fans there, that the pressure immediately comes off Rangers, because you know for a fact that after such a poor showing at Livingston, if that game was 0-0, not even half an hour, maybe 15 minutes in, and there's a few slack passes, the crowd are getting on your back. Obviously, we never know if that actually matters. Like, do players actually struggle in that? There's no scientific evidence to say that, but you could argue maybe that they try to force passes more and that kind of thing, whereas I think when there's no fans there, it almost, there's a lot of stuff I say, it's on German football and that, saying that there's more away wins and it favours the away team, but in many ways I think with the big teams it favours you at home, because it almost takes away all the variables in the football match, and it effectively becomes Rangers' best team against Kilmarnock's best team. It's almost a training game, and 9 times out of 10, Rangers will win that.
Aye. No, I think that's fair, because the point you made there, I think last season Tavernier actually did say that the players have maybe struggled out. I think he's probably said more than he wanted to, but the point he made was basically that the players have maybe sometimes felt the extra pressure from the stands and maybe not been able to deal with it at times, and it's in games like against Kelly at home when the crowd can really as Casey says, that the away team just uses it to their advantage. So it's an interesting one without the crowd there to see how it goes. But as I say, I still fancy. I'll say 2-0.
What was your prediction, Casey, for the record?
Well, I would never ever predict Kelly to get beat, right? So I'll say 1 each. But I don't actually think that, but I would never be on the record as predicting, unless it was a Gary Locke Kelly team, just put that out there. So 1 each.
Very good. Right, the live televised game of the weekend comes a couple of hours after that. Dundee United versus Celtic. Just going over these fixtures, it's mad. There's a lot of really good games this weekend. Like, every game has some sort of edge or story to it, and you sometimes get weekends where the fixtures are all really poor, but this certainly isn't one. Dundee United versus Celtic, obviously Championship winners from last season against the Premiership winners. 5:30 kickoff at Tannadice, live in Sky Sports, which probably tells us that we shouldn't get too excited about seeing a good game. But on the flip side, I'm really looking forward to this. I think that the Celtic players will be absolutely itching to get back to action after, I think it'll be 13 days will have passed by the time they take to the field at Tannadice since their last league game at Rugby Park. And obviously that performance was nowhere near good enough. The result was nowhere near good enough. And I think it was James Forrest doing press earlier on Thursday chatting about how eager the players were to get back playing. So I wouldn't be surprised if Celtic come out and start really well in this game. However, Dundee United are a team that are doing really well. Like, I think they're kind of going under the radar a wee bit, I think. Like, everyone's talking about Hibs and St Mirren and even Ross County, and Dundee United are the ones sitting with 7 points from their 4 games. They've only lost to Hibs so far, and they were probably unlucky to lose that game, and they've already won away to Motherwell and away to Ross County, so they're probably a bit better. Football has been played on the road, but really looking forward to this game. I think Celtic will probably have too much for Dundee United, and I hope so, but there's a prospect of Celtic going into this game, I think, 9 points behind Rangers. And I know we're saying that it's really early on in the season, KC, but even in that case, there's a bit of pressure on Neil Lennon's team. Even though you've got, 3 games in hand at that stage, if you're 9 points behind, it becomes a, I don't want to use the phrase must win because it's not, but there's a lot riding in that game.
I know this is Mr. Stating the obvious, right, but had Rangers won on Sunday against Livingston, then I think there'd be a lot more going into it. Whereas now I see it as a fact, it's 1 each now with Rangers and Celtic. Celtic dropped points at Rugby Park, Rangers dropped points at Livy. Celtic don't feel. And psychologically, it would, because that's what we said, we were potentially talking at the beginning of this 12 points and Rangers, man, which is massive. And as you said, you've got all these games in hand, but that's all the other games in hand. There are no gimmies, there are no points on the board. You ask any manager in football what they'd rather have, points on the board over games in hand every single day of the week. So I think that, as I said, had Rangers won on Sunday, then 100% there'd be a hell of a lot of pressure on this. And, well, every game's a pressure game for Rangers and Celtic, right? But I think that totally saved them. And I watched the Rangers-Livingston game with a couple of Celtic fans. There you go, the obsession will start there. But I watched it with them, and you could tell what they were like. Total relief that they've no further hand with that, because that was the big game. That's a massive one. I know they've no kicked a ball, but that's like, that's the one now. Everything's kind of levelled out a wee bit in regards to actual what's in their hands. So I think that Celtic will come out and have a reaction, given the fact that what's happened the last couple of weeks. The players will be itching to get at it. Obviously, they absolutely tore apart Rekovic during the week, but I think that should go without saying. Celtic should be doing that. But
hopeless.
I think Kelly would have maybe gave them a game, man. Maybe or the Nomads.
You've got recent record in Europe that leaves a lot to be desired.
Exactly. I would have liked to have seen that Jamie Insull for the Nomads do well there, but absolutely nobody despise him. But I think that Celtic will come right out of the traps, but having said that, I'm really, really looking forward to seeing how Mickey Mellon sets up this Dundee United team against them. Again, you look at the actual starting 11 and it doesn't really do much for me, but I actually like him. At first, when he was linked with the job, I was a bit, I don't know what, and I actually looked into him for 2 minutes. His managerial experience is really, really good. He's managed that.
Really good.
And I'm not going to sit and, you know, say whatever about English football and try and talk it up, because that's not what I'm here for, but, I mean, he's managed League One in England for a considerable period of time, which is a decent standard. It's very similar to the Premiership, you know what I mean? So I'll be interesting to see how he sets up, because I think that he's quite pragmatic. He's not got a set way of playing. It's all opposition based, which I kind of like, you know what I mean? You change how you approach different games. He's no stubborn and say, right, we've got to play this way, or we've got to sit in and do this. So obviously, I think against Celtic, you've got to sit in, but I'm quite excited to see how Dundee United set up.
Yeah, I think he's just reading between the lines early on. He seems to be better at setting his teams up defensively, because you look at, they were 1-0 up and against 10 men opening day of the season, and they couldn't kill off that game. Their kind of best performances have come away from home, so maybe that'll suit them when obviously Celtic will have the majority of the possession on Saturday. Sunday, Aberdeen Livingston, 3:00. I should have actually played Matt Finlay's clip, because he was good enough to send us in a wee clip. None of us three have heard this yet.
How many minutes did he get out of that game?
Not a clue.
Fair play to him if it's over one.
I guess the listeners are about to find out. But I should have played that during the chat about St Johnstone Aberdeen, but I completely forgot. But anyway, I'll play it now, and it'll either make a lot of sense or no sense at all.
It wasn't a classic by any means, but if you're Aberdeen, you're taking that all day long. A slow start to the game, really, from both teams. When you looked at it, I thought St Johnstone didn't offer much. Aberdeen limited them to chest chances from 25 yards. I think Joe Lewis had maybe one save to make it at a push. And like I said, but sketchy passing, really, from both teams. Like I think it was such a drab game, and kind of almost typical of how like the start of the season felt. It did feel like a pre-season game. But I think Johnny Hayes was really the only spark that was kind of provided in the first 80 minutes of the game, and fair play to him, because he always got the ball down, kind of typical Johnny Hayes. Just got the ball down and started running, looking for options, and you know, like, it was actually him, I think, that kind of properly created the goal. Fair play to Hedges, though, for you know, making an immediate impact. He's a bit lucky with the deflection, obviously, but you got to take that. I thought on the balance, I thought Aberdeen were probably the better team in terms of trying to go forward and actually make things happen. You know, you could tell that St Johnstone have played a few games, which was a big thing, I think, and that'll come for Aberdeen. We'll need to kind of, you'll be looking at that and hoping that over the next few weeks that can come, obviously starting with Sunday. Thought Ross McCrory looked really solid at the back, and nothing really got by him, and whether he continues to play at the centre-half or not, you know, remains to be seen. Defensively, we're fine in terms of clearing, making tackles and things. You know, passing was, the distribution was a bit sloppy. Ash Taylor and Hoban a few times looking a bit lost, but while it was makeshift, I thought there was more enough quality in the team to actually go and get that win. I thought Scott Wright actually did try to make things happen up front. He always plays like he's a player who's like how you're taught to play as a kid. You know, he's got quick feet, he's with his head up, always looking to get on the ball and things, but nothing was really helping up front, which was a shame. But it showed you tonight, I think, how desperate we really are for a number nine. You know, Cosgrove is so key to how they kind of build attacks. You know, he's not just a big lump up and head it on you. He takes the ball down, he's good with the ball at his feet, gets the ball out wide to your wingers. So, you know, the quicker, obviously, he can come back, the better. Or just anybody, you know, you're tonight the depth wasn't there up front. I thought, you know, I was actually calling for the young lad Michael Ruth to maybe come on just before the goal came in. So, and as I said, fair play to Hedges for getting that. And McInnes, I actually thought, like, he looked to change it at the right times. You know, made a couple of subs at half time. Matty Kennedy didn't really do much, made a couple of nice runs, but, and same with McLennan. But, you know, going forward, you're going to have to use that depth in your squad. And on Sunday, you know, it's going to be a pretty similar game, I think. So Livy will come and probably frustrate as they often do, and you just need to play out. You know, if Aberdeen can start quicker this time, you know, having that 90 minutes into the legs will really help, especially going again in 3 days. You know, you're looking at it, and if you can start to get quicker and maybe sort of that cohesion in the middle of the park, you know, because I said there was a few straight passes tonight, but you get all that together, and if you can get ahead earlier on, then, you know, it's a different game altogether. Livingston are having to kind of come out a little bit more. Obviously, if it stays 0-0 tonight, the fans are going to be fuming, as it was pretty dull, but getting that win just really helps kickstart the season properly. It did feel like a kind of start to the season before the game tonight, so, you know, you just need to kind of start making their way up the table, and, you know, and that's it. Sometimes McInnes's best results have come from just gritty, like, grinded out 1-0s and things like that. it is clear to see that the football's not going to be pretty this year, but if they can put together a few wins and get up the table, then it might be all right.
Right, there we go. Thank you very much, Matt Finlay. Absolutely no idea what he spoke about, guys, but I'm sure it was a... Yeah, I'm sure he made a lot of really good points, as he usually does. Just that you get the odd transfer, sometimes it just seems like a good fit, and I think this just seems like a good fit. Another one that probably seems like a good fit is Lyndon Dykes going away to QPR. Obviously, Livingston didn't have him for the game against Rangers, but this is their first real game without him in terms of him not being at the club at all. £2 million QPR have paid for him. I believe Queen of the South are entitled to a nice healthy proportion of that. In fact, I read somewhere that this will effectively be their record transfer fee ever received, with the amount they'll get. It's maybe a couple hundred grand or whatever. I thought we could play a wee quick game, guys, nothing too much, but if Lyndon Dykes is worth £2 million, if I read out a couple of players, you can let me know how much you think they're worth. Sam Cosgrove?
3.5, 4.
I was going to say 4.
I think they rejected. Or 5 million. I think they rejected. They accepted 3 and a bit or something. Three million euro or something. So
I think it was €3 million.
Christian Doige.
Two and a half, three.
It's one of these. I say that I always hate compared transfers, but I know that's the whole point in the game. But Doige, obviously, they only signed for a couple of grand last summer. So, but if you're going word for word with Dykes, then he's certainly no worse than Dykes, and he's probably a more consistent goal scorer. So €3 million.
If you're selling to, if there's an English Championship team coming in for these players, then I think you'd want to be pushing for the kind of figures we are mentioning, definitely.
Lawrence Shankland.
I still can't put a figure on Shankland, given the fact that he's not scored in the top flight yet. He's not really done that and proved it. I think that he will, given the chance, but see that he's also linked with the French side that were in for Cosgrove. So he's linked there as well, which is quite interesting. So Shankland, I'd say, is worth the same, but I hate this because I honestly don't know, but I think that what United would sell him for would probably be two million plus.
And finally, Nicky Kabamba. No, I'm winding you up.
Eamon Brophy should be in that category, surely.
Couple of million for him.
What's the story with Brophy just now? Is he injured or is he going?
I had my own conspiracy theories that he was going, because he was struggling with it. He's injury prone as anything. Brophy's kind of made of glass, unfortunately. When he's on it, he's a good player. He's been good for us, but I don't know. The fact that he didn't start on Saturday kind of gave me a wee bit of the fear, but he came on late on, so it'll be interesting to see whether he starts this Saturday, but I can't see that given how well Kabamba did against Celtic the other week there in a kind of similar game. So
he was good.
Kabamba's earned himself a transfer to my Galatasaray fantasy team.
I quite like Kabamba. Like, I've seen him a few times now, and he maybe doesn't score enough goals, but I like the fact he gets himself about, and he's quite quick as well. Obviously, you'll know better than me, Casey, but he seems like he's got a wee ton of pace on him.
See, the frustrating thing with Kabamba is there's two things, because he is quick, but moving without the ball and moving with the ball are obviously two very different things, and I think that's what went against him, because like with Celtic when he turned Julian, like realistically, man, you want him bearing down goal and getting the shot away there, and they get back in time, and it was the same, he spun the defender in St Johnson and the guy kind of tugged him, but he should be at the trigger a lot earlier. Kabamba plays his best football when he's got Brophy up there with him. We need to play 4-4-2 if we want to get the best out of the two of them. Concern though is Brophy's only got a year left in his deal. We're supposed to be a selling club. We don't want to be in the position with Jordan Jones, Stephen O'Donnell, who I've based combatant slapped us in the face. So realistically, I think that we probably should be selling Brophy if we're trying to actually balance the books and kick on a wee bit. And I don't think he's irreplaceable.
Well, we've somehow ended up in Kelly's financial affairs when we're meant to be talking about Aberdeen Livingston, so we'll return to that if you don't mind.
That's what you get when I'm on the podcast. Everybody knows that. The listeners know that. I'll turn in and bring it back to Kelly.
Yeah, just on the Livy point, and I know we started off with Dykes. It's obviously it's great business for Livy, when me and Casey were speaking about the Livy Rangers game last weekend before we came on, one thing you would say is last season. See, watching that, if that say for example, or if Dykes was playing, you would have a worry for me as a Rangers fan watching that game that if they do get the kind of odd half chance or see, the thing is with Dykes as well, he made chances for himself or for the team anyway. Especially in games against Celtic and Rangers last season. But they've, I mean, that they had the young boy obviously up top, and then the boy came on for about 5 minutes, didn't he? The Slovenian boy.
He was apparently injured, but he just fucking running his arse here.
Just came on for the appearance.
He was struggling big time. He just looks an absolute jobber. And then they brought on the boy, is it Kudaracer, whatever his name
is. The boy from Queen's Park.
He got himself about, but Hamilton looked the best of the three, the guy who started, but I would be a little bit, more than a bit concerned. I think Gary Holt needs to get a bit of that money and sign a striker. I don't know if there's any obvious ones for the Championship that spring out, but you'll laugh when I say this name, but see someone like Michael Moffat or that. Like, I honestly think that would be better than what they've got at the moment. They need someone up top who can, a bit of energy, almost like Dykes, because they obviously got Dykes for Queen of the South, and I know a lot of people didn't think Dykes was that special at Queen of the South, but they clearly saw that raw pace and power. They need someone of that ilk. I mean, obviously, we know last season Shanklin was in the Championship, Nisbet as well, so there's players down there, but they just need to try and find one. But I'm a little bit concerned for Livy, though. That middle striker was a Slovenian or something. It was fucking hell, man. Like, you could tell from the minute he got on the park, he was absolutely hoaching. I think there was a ball that he literally got to and he just ran it out of the park. Like, he was just absolutely hoaching. No hunger, nothing about him. And I'd be surprised if he was injured. I think he was hooked after 15 minutes because he wasn't giving them an out ball. Anyway, that's Aberdeen Livy. We've not given a prediction, but hopefully Matt covered it when he was speaking. If not, we're in a bit of trouble, guys. Final game of the weekend, live and telly, St Johnson against Hibs. I think it's maybe a 3:30 kickoff, 4 o'clock.
Four o'clock, I think it is. Or maybe
sometime in the evening.
It's on the telly, but isn't it, that game?
It is. Sky Sports, 0-0, etc. back at St Johnson. Dre Wright looking to be fit for this. Obviously, former St Johnson player. He's not played since he played your lot in the opening day of the season, KC. I believe he's had a thigh injury since then. In other Hibs news, Stevie Mallon, also, he hasn't played since December. Derby against Hearts, he's had real bad knee problems over the last 6 months or so, but I believe he came through a bounce game in midweek, so I don't know if he's back for this one, but certainly in the coming weeks, Stevie Mallon could be back, and he'll be a massive player to have back, KC, because you almost forget that he's even part of that Hibs squad.
Aye, I mean, you look at that midfield now and the balance is perfect in it, and then you've got Mallon to come back into that equation. It's no wonder that everybody's talking up Hibs, and the Hibs fans will be excited this season. The recruitment's been top class, and already adding to the quality that's there. So aye, if Stevie Mallon's ready to come in, and if anyone, it's harsh as it is, because highly as I rate him, man, but I think it would be like Scott Allen who'd drop out for him, because I think you've seen that. I think obviously Allen, I think it was United away, didn't they start? Games at
half time, I think.
I think it could have been that, but I definitely know that he didn't start.
Did he come on as a sub in that game?
Which is obviously quite interesting to see whether, obviously, Hibs should still be expected to go to Tannadice and pick up 3 points, but away games are always different. You know, you've got to be a bit more about you, and I'm not saying Allen's a luxury player, because I actually think he works harder than he's given credit for, but I think that Stevie Mallon just covers everyone, man. He's box to box, brilliant on the ball. He's excellent. His dead ball delivery is phenomenal, and shooting for dead balls, so he gives you a bit of everything. So I think if anything, I mean, you've got Gogic who's sitting there protecting the back four, and then you've just got a masses of talent in front of him. They're ready to create chances, and Stevie Mallon come back into that, it's Hibs will be scoring goals for fun.
Anything mad going to happen between St Johnson and Hibs, Gamble?
I can't see it, to be honest. It's not one that screams out the pages a goal fest, to be
it's
honest.
It's a weird game to televise, isn't it? Because I would probably have, I know they don't ever show Rangers home games, but I'd have Rangers Killie would be ahead of it.
Lanarkshire
Derby.
You would think.
Strange.
Yeah. I've got to say, I've not been. I actually tipped St Johnson up for I think I actually said they'd make the top six in our league predictions, but I would revisit that if I could after watching them in a few games this season. I know obviously they stole a victory last week, didn't they? And I'm not just saying that, Casey, it might make you feel better, but I've not been impressed with them at all. I watched a bit of the game tried to watch as much as I could tonight. There just doesn't seem to be a lot there. Hibs, obviously, as we said, I'd just like to touch upon Gogic. I'm going to make a name for myself as a pure Alex Gogic fanboy on this podcast, but he's still not good enough to be wearing these socks like Totti, but he's been a good signing for them, and I think he suits the way that the Hibs will set up, especially in games like this when he'll just be the kind of destroyer, if you like, disrupting the play and letting the more creative players go on and do their stuff. Obviously, Boyle had a great start to the season as well, so I don't think it's going to be a classic. Hopefully, I've proved wrong for the purposes of another televised game, but I'll say, score prediction, I'll go for 1-0 Hibs.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see another narrow Hibs victory. Aye, that's us, guys. Pretty much, run the rule over everything that's going to happen. 4:30 kickoff, by the way, for that game in Perth on Sunday. 5:30 for Dundee United, Celtic on Saturday evening. So, yeah, really looking forward to it. I'm going to a game, as I say. I'll be able to report back to you and remind you all how being at a football match is. I won't post any of those condescending tweets that journalists have been doing about, oh, it's not the right way to go to a game with no fans here and all that kind of pish, but
wish you were here tweets and all that.
Aye, it's all that. There's no need. Just admit you're doing your job. You don't need to mention the fans or say how it's not the same without them. Just do your job and go to the game. But I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, we'll get together at the end of the weekend and we'll look back on hopefully lots and lots of goals. KC, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
And Gamble, thanks for returning from your holidays in such fine form.
Good to be back, Hamish. Good to be back.
Unlike Ball and Goalie. But thanks very much, guys, and thanks most of all to you, the listener, for taking the time to listen to this show, and we'll speak to you very soon.